It's Wednesday, November the 16th, and you're tuned in to the TNIV podcast. I'm Vince.
I'm Anthony.
And this is the Geek Chic Culture Show, where we talk about all the cool things in the whole wide world. Coming up in this episode, nothing.
Yeah, man.
I got nothing for
the chillest of weeks.
Yeah, it's a chill week. Last week, it turns out Kamen Rider didn't air. That's why we didn't have an episode.
Yeah.
And this week, we're actually...
Now they don't have it.
Now they don't have the episode.
Now we take
the
complaints from before. Bring them up here.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
We're just moving forward a week. Mm-hmm. So no Kamen Rider this week, unfortunately. So hopefully next week we return to form on that front. How's your week been, Anthony?
It's been fun. I went to an escape room. Did cool. some stuff. Maybe I'll talk about... I forgot I went... Wait, shit. I went to an escape room. Maybe I'll talk about that.
Oh, okay. Neat.
But yeah, it's been pretty chill. Friend had a birthday.
Neato.
Played a bunch of video games.
Same old, same old.
Slept a lot.
Oh, yeah.
In the gym.
Oh, yeah. How's that been?
It's been good. I've been seeing, like, rapid improvements.
Really?
Yeah. Like, these are the first improvements. Mm. Like, I went from curling 7 pounds to curling 15 10? Pounds.
Oh,
and
nice.
I'm like, ooh, nice. Congratulations, me.
How's the dieting going?
Dieting's good. Yeah. I haven't had any fast food in like a month.
I don't mean that. I mean, like, are you eating properly?
Oh, am I eating, period? Yes.
Are you eating?
I'm actually eating three meals.
Yes.
Or close to three meals.
Because what the listeners don't know is Anthony actually doesn't eat.
Yeah, so before this, like, let's talk about Anthony's health corner.
Yeah.
I averaged 0 to 1 meal a day.
Yep.
0 to 1.
Yep.
And I just, it's not even because I was starving myself, it's just because I wasn't hungry.
Yep.
Right? And I'm just like, sometimes I'd wake up, I'd be like, not hungry all day, like go to work, not hungry, all this mm-hmm. stuff. And yeah, sometimes I just not eat for a whole day.
That's crazy to me. That's so crazy.
And so, yeah, so now that I've been going to the gym, I've been eating more, at least double.
That's good.
Double of one.
It's better than one.
Yeah. So I've been eating at least 2 meals, 2.5. Like, it'll be like 2 and some snacks.
Yeah.
And man, yeah, it turns out when you're being physical, you get hungry.
Yeah, man.
It's like, what?
When you burn energy, you gotta refill
yeah,
it.
It's crazy. Yeah. I think the biggest lesson I've learned is that if you're gonna work out in the morning, have breakfast. Because if you don't, you will crash and burn. And you'll be like, man, I still got 2 more workouts to do. I want to die.
Well, now you know.
Yeah, and I've also learned that my favorite days are cardio days and leg days.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. They're the most fun to me.
Oh,
I hate doing upper body. I don't know why.
Man, you're like the opposite of a lot of people.
Yeah. I'm like, fuck, yeah, squats. Let's hit that squat rack. I'm so excited. I think for legs, it's just I see big numbers. And so in my clicker mind, it's like, yeah, the numbers are already big.
I see.
I don't have to start small. Like, you just do a leg press, right? And then it's just like, you just... crank out a bunch of weight.
Yeah. If I had it my way, I would do 1 exercise per body part. Like, and that's it.
That's it?
Like, in a one whole set. So I would do, like, everything at once.
Oh,
I could
okay.
have it my way, but...
That's not how...
You can't do that.
Nature works.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah. But, yeah, so, like, I've been doing... I think my biggest improvement is in cardio.
That's good.
Like, starting from being on the bike for, like, 15 minutes and being dead tired to now I'm up to 40 minutes.
Oh, nice.
And I'm doing hill climbs.
Nice.
So it'll be like, I think you guys told me about interval training.
Yeah.
So it'll be like, take it easy on the lower resistances. Yeah. And then when it's high resistance for a minute, you just go for it.
Mm.
And yeah, it's really, you get really sweaty. I get really sweaty.
Yeah. That's why I like biking outside.
Yeah.
With the wind.
It's gross. It's really gross. Cause like, so I sweat a lot.
And it just drips all over the machine.
My shirt. Yeah. It drips all over the machine. There's like a pool of sweat.
Yeah.
On the bottom.
That's
like,
hot. Yeah.
My whenever I wear a gray shirt, it turns from light gray to dark gray. Like, it's like I just someone hose me down. It's really bad.
Yeah.
And then I need to go buy a headband because my bangs are really long. So when I sweat, I get like hair in my eye.
Just wear a cap. Not a cap. Visor. Like a skull thing.
Skull cap.
Yeah. There you go.
Not what am I, Ja Rule? Like
could be. I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, being healthy is kind of fun.
That's good. That's good. I'm glad you're enjoying yourself.
Yeah. I've been buying vegetarian meals at restaurants.
Whoa. You've taken one step
it's
too
fucking
far.
Weird.
Next week, if you come back for the core message, you might have
yeah,
to
yeah, sometimes
you.
I'm going to restaurants, you know, I'm like, you know what? Just not feeling like meat today.
Whew.
Whew. I think the last slice of pizza I got was vegetarian.
Oh my God. All right. That's soon. You're going to need intervention soon.
What have we unleashed?
I know. Your dad will be so disappointed in you.
Dad, I bought this sausage. Dad, that's not part of my core message, okay? Pass me that banana. All I need is a banana for my ride.
Man. Oh, okay. Well, that's great. Let's move into the picks and let's check those things out.
All right.
So first up, let's talk about some trailers, some movie trailers.
Teach me about trailers.
All right. The first one that came out is the Disney's Beauty and the Beast starring Emma Watson and the Beast.
It's a tale as old as time.
Some may say so, yes.
Yeah.
I don't know the rest of the song.
Oh. I just know that one line.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. So the trailer came out, and I have to say, I am impressed.
It looks really good.
Yeah. I mean, but at the same time, it's like, well, it was Disney. Was there ever any doubt?
True. That their whole motto is throw money at it until it works.
But... yeah, and like they make sure it works. They don't throw money at it and then say, okay, do what you want with it. It's not Batman v Superman. This is Disney, like. And, yeah, everything about it, like, this is not a movie that I was looking forward to.
Yeah.
Like, it was just a thing that was like, okay, I'll see when it comes out, but it looks pretty hot.
So we're going to get all the bros together opening night, go see Beauty and the Beast.
When is it? March 17th?
I guess. I think so.
I want to say that's, like, the same date as our next trailer, but, yeah.
We can see both.
Yeah, okay.
There's no harm in that. But, yeah, I really like the character designs for, like, Miss Potts.
Yep.
And what's his Chip? All the like the minor characters.
Yeah.
The ones that are household appliances.
Yeah.
Like the clock just looks like a clock.
Yeah.
Cogsworth?
Cogsworth.
Yeah, Cogsworth just looks like a clock.
Yep.
He doesn't have a silly like hand mustache.
Yeah.
Who's the candle?
Lumiere.
Yeah.
Just a candle.
Lumiere.
He's a candle. He's got a weird face.
He's got a human body.
Yeah, he's got a human body as a candle. And it's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Maybe that one's a little weird. But, yeah, it looks really cool. And if they're... I assume they're using CG. But
like, they have to for some of it.
Some of that CG just looks so good. Where I'm just like, is that practical? Can't tell.
I believe, like, all of the Beast is real.
It's a costume.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Because I know, but I imagine the makeup in the morning for that actor, he has to wake up at, like, 3.
Yeah.
So they can put makeup on so he's ready by 8.
I think the only thing is, like, when you look, like, in my mind, when I think of Beauty and the Beast, or pretty much any Disney movie, it's the cartoons, right?
Yeah.
It's that animated thing.
Yeah.
And the Beast is massive in the animated. So is Gaston. And so when you see these people and they're like, oh, you're, like, thin K-pop version of the Beast.
Yeah.
Right?
And Gaston's just a dude.
And he's just like, he's got like a skateboarder's body.
Yeah, he's a cool looking, like he's a good looking dude. But he's not.
Yeah.
He's not busting out of his shirt.
I'm still waiting for that wraparound where it's like right now all the skinny dudes are popular and then it'll come back and it's just like.
Yeah, so you think they're going to do singing and everything in this?
They did it in the other Disney movies I saw. They did a little bit in, what's it called? Jungle Book.
Oh.
So in Jungle Book, they did some songs, but I think when I mentioned it, yeah, they felt a little forced. Like, the songs didn't need to be there.
Yeah.
And then when I think they had one in Tarzan, I can't remember.
Okay.
But for the most part, there was no singing in Tarzan.
Okay.
If they did, I might have forgot about it already.
Because I'm just saying, like, Beauty and the Beast, like, there's a lot of music.
Yeah, there's a lot of good songs.
And I'm just like, I look at Emma Watson, and I'm like, I just can't imagine her singing.
But I mean,
I can't wait to be proven wrong, though.
Yeah.
And, like, I want to see that Gaston dude sing.
True. I want to hear the Gaston. What's the name of Gaston's henchman? The one that, like, always pumps him up?
Oh.
He's, like, Gaston's hype man.
Yeah. Oh, I forget his name.
I want to see that character. I want to see what he looks like.
Yeah. I bet she's even cooler.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah. But that looks good. The other trailer is the one that took most of the fandom by storm, or this sect of culture by storm, and that is the Ghost in the Shell trailer for the live action film starring Scarlett Johansson and other people.
Yeah. Other people. Say other people because they're not white. Is that why you're saying that, Vince?
I actually was referring to the fact that they're no-name actors, but okay.
Oh, sure. Whatever. I said you're appropriating our culture. Right?
God. Kill me.
Tell you about my core message.
Oh, it's happening. But no, Ghost in the Shell trailer, a lot of like mixed thoughts going in, like ever since the announcement it was Scarlett Johansson, that it was Hollywood doing it. Yeah.
So I want to talk about this trailer first, setting aside the actors and actresses.
Yeah.
This movie looks nuts.
It looks amazing.
The costumes are on fucking point.
Yeah.
The cityscape is like, man, that's Ghost in a Shell. It looks so sick.
I can't believe how colorful it is.
Yeah. You would think with like that kind of a story, Hollywood's like, no, we got to make it
grim, dark,
gritty.
But no, they went
Sniper FX. They're like, this is
Welcome to Neo Tokyo.
Yeah, it's sick. It's so cool.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of videos that they had a pre-release event in Tokyo.
Yeah.
And people are taking a lot of videos of these costumes, and like the amount of detail that went into these costume designs is nuts.
Yeah.
And it's all practical. I'm like, Jesus.
Yeah.
But now the big question is ScarJo.
Yeah.
How you liking ScarJo?
I was never really against her when they cast her.
Okay.
She wouldn't have been my first choice.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, I can't think of another, let's say, Hollywood actress who could have done it better. That I would have put in her place.
All right.
Is she white? Totally.
100%.
Does it bug me? Not really.
Yeah, so that was the thing. I thought it would bug me more. But it doesn't.
No.
Right? And it does look out of place.
It only looks out of place because her supporting cast are all Japanese.
Yeah. And same with I keep forgetting his name. Bato. And yeah. He's white too.
Yeah.
So those two look super out of place.
Yeah.
But other than that, like, everything else looks awesome.
Yeah. I always felt like the thing about Scarlett Johansson and this also happens with the Avengers. When I, like... And nothing, I'm not trying to judge her body, but I just feel like when I look at Motoko or even Black Widow, they're like taller, more built women.
Yeah.
And Scarlett Johansson, whenever I look at her, she always looks shorter and curvier.
Yeah.
But like, and I just, with the Major's always been more like broad chested.
She's in the army.
Yeah. That's the only thing I would say that kind of throws me off, especially because Scarlett Johansson is wearing like the skin suit. Mm-hmm. And so like, there's nowhere to hide. You could see what her body looks like. And yeah. It's just like, I kind of wish they picked someone with a bit more athletic,
built.
Yeah.
Or maybe if they bulked out the suit a bit, like maybe put some padding in certain places.
But then that would be obvious. And it's just,
But yeah, like, I didn't think I'd be excited for this movie. But
I'm so hyped.
And it looks sick.
I should say also, I'm not like the biggest Ghost in the Shell fan.
I own a t-shirt.
So do I.
Yeah, we bought those.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think Ghost in the Shell is cool, but it's not like one of my favorite things in the world.
I watched it years ago.
Are you talking about the movie?
Pardon?
Are you talking about the movie?
I think so.
Okay, yeah. See, that movie that I think this is based off of, I didn't like that movie.
Oh, really?
Okay. No, I thought the movie was awful.
When I first saw it, I was also much younger. And so I was like, yeah, this is pretty cool. This is also like my first foyer into anime around.
Okay.
So like, I was like, everything is new to me.
Yeah.
So like, maybe if I watched it now, it wouldn't hold up as well.
Yeah.
But I thought it was okay.
The anime is a lot better. Standalone Complex.
Okay.
That's a lot better. But even then, like, I wasn't super sold on it.
All right.
It's always, Ghost in the Shell's always been more about the world that they set yourself in and all the questions about humanity. It's never been about the plot.
Mm-hmm.
But because movies rely on plot and not world building, mm-hmm. I am curious about how they're going to approach that. Especially because the trailer makes it seem like she's one of a kind.
It both does and doesn't. There's a part at the end.
Yeah, because they're like, I'm going to find out my past. I'm like, but no, she's never, like, that's never been her thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and so that's the part that makes me nervous.
It's, where you're like, Hollywood, please.
That's like, what kind of story are you going to shove into this character? Like,
yeah.
That's my big word.
I don't know what it is with Hollywood and their obsessions with flashback backstories, but they need to stop. Like, especially in a movie where that's never really been the Major's main thing, right? At least I felt like, from what I remember, the Major's is just like, I gotta push forward.
Yeah.
I gotta do my duty.
If anything, the Major's past life has always been a mystery.
Yeah.
Like, and it's not really something focused on. No one ever asks her about it. They're just like, she's the shit. She gets the job done. But no questions asked. Let's go.
Why is she the shit? Yeah. Shut the fuck up. Yeah. That's why. Yeah. That's why she's the best.
Yeah.
So.
But no, like, I can't believe how amazing the trailer makes it seem.
Yeah, it looks really awesome. I think it was the opening scene with the robot geishas.
Yeah.
And then they turn and crawl out and, like, tongue lash people who don't need to be killed.
Yeah.
Like, it's so cool.
Yeah, the other thing that's not part of the trailer, but they have, like, other, like, featurettes.
Yeah.
They recreate the opening scene from the movie.
Oh.
Live action.
Oh, really?
Where she's being created. I forget what it's called. The synthesizing scene? Mm-hmm. Or whatever. And it looks amazing. Like, the way they've done it. It's like, frame for frame. It's real cool.
Sick.
Yeah. The only difference is, in the anime, they give her nipples. In the live action one, they don't.
Why are you censoring my media, America?
Because it's PG-13.
I need those nipples. Those nipples are important story points.
Yeah. It's PG-13. Yeah, that's the thing. The movie's PG-13. I mean, we'll see how they get around
that. I'm not going to say I'm not disappointed that it's PG-13.
Yeah.
But I don't think this movie would have been made if it wasn't.
Yeah.
If they're like, hey, man, we want an R rating. They're like, fuck you.
Yeah. Like, we know Deadpool just came out and proved everyone wrong, but yeah. Not every movie is going to be a Deadpool.
Also, like, I still think they're wary on Japanese IPs.
Yes. For sure.
Yeah. I don't think they're going to take that Deadpool risk. So
yeah, that's 100% sure. So, like, PG-13, kind of a bummer, but it's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
Looks like a good movie. Did you want to go with another pick?
I had one pick. It is, you remember that cat game on the phone called Neko Atsume?
Yeah.
It's getting a live action movie.
What?
So the, yeah. So Neko, yeah, the free to play cat collecting game is getting a live action movie scheduled for release in Japan next year.
Oh, it's a Japanese movie.
It's a Japanese movie. Strictly Japanese.
Okay.
There's no plans of bringing it to the West.
Good.
Like, all that stuff. And it's called House of Neko Atsume, where the film tells the story of a frustrated writer in need of a change of pace, and he moves houses. And then when he gets to the new house, he gets help from unlikely friends of cats.
Wow.
And I think they're going to bring, like, the character, like, all the cats as characters, but I don't know if they're doing, like, special cats. So, like, there's Mr. Miyagi.
Wow.
Who's the samurai cat.
Wow.
There's a Guy Fieri,
like, really?
Because it's guy, it's a Guy Fieri cat, but he's fur. Like,
yeah, I get it. Oh, I get it.
Right. And then there's, like, a whole bunch of other cats like that. So, like, I saw this, and there's not much to talk about, but I thought it was nuts. And I'm like, okay, why not?
This is stupid.
What about Conductor Whiskers?
What?
Conductor Whiskers.
Is he a...
He only appears in when you put down train-related toys or vehicle-related toys. And then he has a conductor's hat and wears overalls.
Well, I'm glad you're excited for this.
Cats!
I didn't take you for a cat person.
I'm not.
Okay. Okay, so I was right. All right.
Cats are cool when other people own them.
That's how I feel about all pets. That's how I feel about children.
I don't feel about that way about dogs. Or children.
Okay, sure.
Like, dogs are dope. I would love to have a dog. When I have a dog, it's pretty dope.
Dogs are cool when other people have to take care of them.
It's not that hard. They're pretty self-sufficient.
You, like, have to feed them and walk them.
You pour food into a bowl and leave it.
It's too much work.
Or you can get the automatic ones.
No,
the dog steps on it when it's hungry. And it,
no, because then you have to train the dog so that it doesn't wreck your shit.
It's really easy. You just roll up a newspaper, or it does something wrong, you smack it in the nose.
It's too much work.
That's not actually how I train my dog. I'm sorry.
Please don't. Shouldn't have said that.
Yeah, don't send hate mail. I actually kicked it. No.
Children,
on the other hand, that's where the cattle prod comes in.
Yeah, that's definitely where it comes in. Okay, cool. That's Neko Atsume. My other last pick is Power Rangers is coming out.
All right.
Toy line was revealed for some reason.
We watched that trailer. It looked pretty cool. The teenage got superpowers out of the suit. It's kind of weird.
Uh-huh. Well, they finally have been slowly putting out images of the new Megazord.
All right.
Now, the Megazord, I don't know about you, but for me, that was the first big robot I can remember.
Yep.
That or Voltron. But in my mind, they blurred together.
No, for me, it's Mighty Morphin.
And it's a very iconic robot.
Yeah, it's fucking a bunch of squares.
So what?
And a rectangle.
I'm going to show you what the movie Power Rangers looks like now.
All right, I want to guess first.
Okay.
It's super slim biotech like Evangelion.
Interesting, interesting, interesting choice.
All right, let's see.
Well, first of all, before I show you, this is the toy.
Okay.
Because I haven't showed like the full CG model, but the toy is pretty much a good indicator of what it's going to look like.
All right.
You ready?
Yeah.
Here we go.
I was partially right.
Uh-huh.
That looks like Devilman. You know who Devilman is?
I know who Devilman is.
That looks like Devilman. Yeah. Or like a really skinny Getter.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Mm. And he's got like Zordon up here in his face.
Yeah.
Wait, actually?
I don't know. I can tell you right now that they don't combine together in all single chest.
I bet not.
No. Each of them sits in a limb.
Okay. I just don't know. Like, nothing about this toy screams combiner.
So that's the only thing I think the design is fine. I think it's a cool looking robot.
Like it's a robot.
I just don't see how it turns into that.
Yeah, like do they have to, is it like Inuyasha with the fucking demon gems? Like if I put a gem in the leg it becomes stronger.
Yeah, I don't know.
And the Power Rangers are the gems.
Yeah. It's
That's weird.
Yes.
I'm confused.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm not upset. I'm not angered. It's just weird.
Yeah, I mean, I can't say I'm 100% surprised. It's just that
it's Devilman. It's got to be Devilman. Like
the thing is as someone who's been a Transformers fan for a long time, I remember when I first saw the Transformers movie stuff, I was like, that's not Optimus. So I feel like I'm going through the same thing again. But the thing with the Transformers movies is like, when I looked at the truck, I'm like, there's no fucking way that truck transforms into Optimus. Like that sense of disbelief. But when I see this Megazord, I'm like, even further.
It just looks like Devilman.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. They give him a hollow face.
But yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
I guess I'll wait and I'll reserve final judgment until I see the CG. Because, yeah, nothing about that robot screams combiner. And even if it does, it would be, at least in my imagination, the most forced combination in the world.
Yeah.
Like, someone has to pick up limbs or something. Gotta reattach my leg.
That or, like, the T-Rex or whatever they are using.
Yeah.
They just burst into pieces. Okay. Like they pop off the arms and legs, and then inside it's just a limb. And they attach.
Maybe, yeah.
But, like, that's just bullshit. So, I don't believe that either.
Huh.
It's just weird that it looks like he's wearing chainmail to unite him, like, in a bio suit. He looks like a big Power Ranger with armor.
Yeah.
Which thematically works.
With what they're doing.
Yeah. Yes. It's just, it's weird. Like, it's just so weird because it does not look like they're
combining robots. I don't know where the wings are coming from.
Yeah. I really do wish it just looked more like a giant super robot, but it doesn't.
Yeah, there's something to be said about being a robot ass robot, right?
Yeah,
there's something cool, like maybe we're out of touch,
yeah,
but there's something sick about being a robot ass robot.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm not saying be a bunch of squares,
mm-hmm,
but you don't have to be a person. Like your robot doesn't have to resemble
a person
like one-to-one.
Yeah,
right? It could have two arms, two legs, that's fine.
Yeah,
but it's got to have some sort of bulk.
Yeah,
maybe some sort of rocket punch.
You just want another Pacific Rim. Yeah.
Maybe they could drift.
I think, you know, I think there is some sort of, that's actually part of it, the whole thing, right? Because they're five teenagers and they have to work together to move this giant robot. Yeah, I don't know.
And then, they're not, like, if they don't have cockpits, then is it the Evangelion thing of submerge yourself and then drown yourself in the fluid? And then you can pilot, be one with the limb.
Yeah, well, I don't know, man.
I'll form the butt in this.
Who knows? But yeah, that's the Power Rangers thing.
Huh.
Hot.
It's weird.
Right. Cool. Any more comments on that?
It's weird.
All right. Awesome.
I'm just going to keep saying it's weird until we move on.
Let's move to our weeks then.
All right.
Do you want to go first or want me to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay.
So yeah, I said earlier in the show, I went to an escape room, one that was local to our city. And so this is the second escape room I've been to. This one was really cool because it was voodoo themed.
Yeah.
So it was just like ancient witch doctor. You went into his house and he locked the door behind you. And now you gotta... He's not insane, but you gotta solve his puzzle or else he'll kill you with voodoo magic. Right? And I love escape rooms. I think I'm down with escape rooms. I just think they're too expensive.
How much did this one cost?
$24 for an hour. And I heard ones in Toronto can get upwards of like $40.
They can, but if you go, like, usually they have one cheap night.
Okay.
Like a Tuesday night, it'd be like $15.
Okay. Like, that seems perfect. Like, a cheap night sounds awesome.
Yeah.
For as much as I love solving puzzles in that kind of environment, like with your friends trying to work together, I figured out the group I went with, our major problem is that somehow we are always able to brute force at least one puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we'll have, like, 3 out of 4 numbers for a code, and then someone will just brute force the last number.
Oh.
But we haven't solved the puzzle, right? So we're a step ahead, and so we're trying to solve puzzles that are ahead of us without the key component that was probably in the other thing. And so in this one... like, part of me wants to complain about, like, how we were explained the room.
Yeah.
But the other one is like, oh, maybe we should have tried this. So in the room, there was a keypad.
Yeah.
And the keypad was, once you get the final thing, you enter the code into the keypad, and then it'll unlock the door.
Of course.
And that would be how you escape. And so we're like, okay, like, keypad's for the end. And there was, in the room, we were, like, in the room, we were told that, like, it was all covered in, like, really rough wood. So they're like, oh, be careful touching the wall. You'll get splinters and stuff. And so we're like, none of us were checking walls and stuff. But it turns out one of the codes we couldn't figure out what to use for, you're supposed to use on a keypad. And it opens up a secret door that's in the wall.
Oh.
But we were led to believe that the keypad was only for the final thing.
I see.
Right? And then so we were just stuck for like 20 minutes.
Oh.
Being like, I don't know what to do. And so that kind of sucked. But yeah, I really like escape rooms. They're really fun.
They are fun.
Yeah, they're really good. Other than that, I've been playing a bunch of video games.
Mm-hmm.
As per usual. So I'll start with start with the hottest of new games.
So how old is this game?
Time Crisis 1.
Wow, okay. Thank you.
I bought Time Crisis 1 on the PS1. Got some GunCon 1s.
What color are your GunCons?
Gray.
Hmm.
Gray with orange tips.
Oh, that sucks.
Well, they're the American ones.
I know.
My GunCon 2 is Japanese, and that thing's just black.
I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah, that one's just a gun. Yeah. And that one's cool. But, so the GunCon 1s, I'm playing with those. The GunCon 1s are, like, I want to say almost... Old? Twice the size of the GunCon 2s.
Dude, that's just technology, man.
They're huge.
Yeah.
And the button placements for, like, getting up and out of cover are on the edge of the gun, so you have to hold this pistol with two hands, like it's a rifle. But the thing about Time Crisis 1 is that the timer is dangerous. Unlike in Time Crisis 2, where, like, when you get to the next section, like, you have a minute to do whatever, right? It'll reset your timer. It only adds a set amount of time in Time Crisis 1.
Mm.
So if you take too long, it'll just add a set amount. It won't bring you back to 60 seconds. So you could enter the next shootout with like 15 seconds left.
And you have nothing. You can't do anything
about it. And then when the timer hits zero, you just take a life to the face.
Oh, that sucks.
Right? The other thing is, in Time Crisis 1, I didn't realize this, but they don't have warnings or like... really clear warnings for when you're about to get hit in the face. So when a red enemy pops up, really it's just, I'm going to keep going like this.
Yeah.
Until a bullet, like, in and out really fast until a bullet misses me and then shoot him. Because, yeah, like, when they shoot, it's like this, you just have to have hawk vision. Like, you have to see this yellow 4-dot thing coming at you.
It is an arcade game.
It is an arcade game. It is meant to take your quarters.
Yeah.
It's true. But that game's extra silly. Because it's like, was it like the president's daughter has been kidnapped?
Hold on. All of Time Crisis is extra silly.
This one is extra, extra silly.
Okay.
Because instead of being 6 squatted dudes,
mm-hmm.
you're literally a one-man army in a leather jacket. You're just about right. One dude who flies in off a helicopter to infiltrate a medieval castle to rescue the president's daughter from, like, all these insane booby traps. Like, I think after the first boss, she's chained to, like, a chair in a stone castle. And then she's like, and some guy's like, ha ha ha, it's too late. We're going to kidnap her, blah, blah, blah. And the chair flips into a wall, and then a wall goes down. And it's like, whoa.
How elaborate.
I'm like in a fun house right now. And then I face some ninjas.
Nice.
But it's a light gun game, man. If you don't like light gun games, then this game's not for
you. Yeah, but I've always, like, one day when I get rich enough, I've always wanted to get, like, a Time Crisis 2 machine.
Like a cabinet? Like the big one? Like, yeah.
Like pair it up.
With the Link Play?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you can do. If you get a PS2 fat.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, System Link. And we can do the System Link.
We can just...
On two CRTs.
I was going to say, buy some cheap TVs. Yeah.
My hardest thing with that is finding the FireWire cable. No one has it. Because the tech's so old. Wow. So, it's a pain in the butt.
Just go to some Apple forums.
Maybe.
You'll get them.
So yeah, I'm playing Time Crisis 1. I've been playing Resident Evil 1 Director's Cut.
On the PS1?
Yeah, on the PS1.
Interesting. Interesting choice.
We gave Jill the Master of Unlocking a lockpick. Because it might be handy. She's the Master of Unlocking. She almost became a Jill sandwich.
Did you beat it?
No, I got to the first boss.
And then you're like, fuck this.
And I was like, I'll come to this another day. It's surprising how much tank controls don't bother me.
Wow.
Yeah, I would think that over years and years of playing more modern games, that tank controls would really bother me, but they don't. Huh. Like, I went back into that game 100% no issues.
You should play Tomb Raider.
Maybe, yeah. Tomb Raider has always been the harder one because that one's more about acrobatics and jumping.
Yeah, that's why tank controls suck.
But this one is just walk forward and walk backwards and don't get hit by a zombie.
The dogs get you?
The dogs scared the shit out of me. Okay. They fucking got
me. Did you just forget?
I forgot. Oh. I forgot that was a thing. I'm like, this hallway looks familiar. And then the dogs are like, wow! I'm like, fuck! But man, no, that game is fun.
I will never forget the dogs.
The dogs scared the shit out of me. It's such a good scare. You don't see it coming.
It is.
Yeah, and then it's just so many dumb lines. The voice acting's terrible.
Oh, yeah.
And by terrible...
It's a classic.
And by terrible, I mean great. And so, yeah, I picked Jill. Yeah, who doesn't? She's got the lockpick. Like, come on.
Don't pick Chris.
No one picks Chris. Yeah, and it's just a blast from the past. Because when I was a kid, I never owned a PlayStation 1. Mm. My cousin had one. So whenever I went over my cousin's, I would watch him play it. Mm. So, like, I really want to find a copy of Resident Evil 2.
Oh.
Or Resident Evil 3 Nemesis. Mm-hmm. Right? Because those are the ones I vividly remember him playing. Because I watched him beginning to end play those games.
Yeah.
Which I probably shouldn't. Because I was, like, 6.
Yeah.
But I did it anyways.
Were all the games that they had, how do I put this? I can't think of the word that's opposite of pirate.
But burned?
Yes.
Like, were they pirated? No, they bought all their games.
Okay, because I remember that's what me and Teacher had.
Oh, okay.
Like, with the... Was it the Game Shark in the back?
Oh!
And then we had a spring so that you could open the lid.
Yeah.
But it would keep spinning.
Yeah.
That's how it's done.
Someone else I knew had that. And that was crazy, because I went to his house, I'd be like... You just got, like, a binder full of games. Oh, my God.
Exactly. You just flip through and you'd be like, what do you want to play today?
The thing about that, though, is, like, I think the problem I have with, like, cheap games on Steam or free games on PSN.
You don't play them.
Where I just don't play them. Or I don't care enough about them. Like, when I buy, like, if there's something about me physically buying a game with money where I'm like, I'm going to beat this because
I
bought it.
I can't remember how we ended up getting so many games to play. Teach, was it that like we rent them and then burn them? Or did we just go to like Pacific Mall and buy a pack?
It's like a combination of both.
Yeah, we would... Yeah, okay. I knew... Yeah.
Okay.
So you buy them Pacific Mall and be like, these games are cheap. They're like $1.
Yeah.
It was like, rent 3 games for a week.
Yeah.
So we just do 3 games we want to burn.
Yeah. So we would still get like that feeling of, oh, we picked these out.
Yeah.
But then we would just... The collection would grow.
Yeah, I think whenever I went to that friend's house, we had all the burn games. Like, I just wouldn't care about the games that he had because wow. I don't think we had all these options, right? So we'd play them for like a minute or whatever, like just get through a little bit and then be like, nah, let's switch. Let's go somewhere else, yeah. Right? But yeah, I don't know.
So what else have you been playing?
What else have I been playing? I've been playing Towerfall Ascension.
Oh, you bought that. That's right.
It was on sale last week. It's a good game. It's really good. It is a fantastic local multiplayer game.
It's actually hard.
It's not as hard as I thought it would be.
So we set it up. I don't even know what this game is.
So Towerfall is a four-player versus competitive archery game.
Oh.
Where you are in an arena, and like Pac-Man, if you fall through a pit, you'll come. Say you fall through the bottom pit, you'll come out the top.
Yeah.
If you go through the right, you'll come out the left.
Yeah.
Right? And it's four-player versus, and you have to shoot each other with bows and arrows.
Oh.
Each person starts with three arrows. But there are alternate ways to kill people, which is either shoot them with an arrow or you can jump on them.
Okay.
Or if the the timer goes too long, there's too many people, like poison will start coming from the sides arena. The stage will shrink.
Okay.
And so like you can kind of force your character to go into other places. And then depending on the level you pick, there's different modifiers. So if you pick, I believe it was the ice level, you can get drill arrows, and those go through walls. So you can be like, oh, I'm safe behind this wall. No, you're not. And there's a mine level where you get bomb arrows, and you can blow away parts of the level. Or you can like shoot an arrow near someone, but then the explosion gets them.
Okay.
And there's a bunch of different modes. There's deathmatch, team deathmatch, last man standing. There's a whole bunch of other stuff. And it's really, really good. The reason I didn't find it as hard as I thought it would be is because the arrows kind of auto-home at a certain distance when they're close enough to someone. So there was an instance where... Here, I'm going to... This is visual reference, only works for you, Vince. So there was an enemy standing here.
Yeah.
But I shot my arrow here, like it was going to hit the wall below him, but it curved up and hit him in the leg.
Oh.
Right? So there's a little bit of give to make it so that you don't need to be like MLG level pro at this kind of stuff.
It's got those Hanzo hacks.
Yeah, it's got those Hanzo hacks. Oh, okay. The hitbox on that arrow is huge.
Fuck. I hate that shit.
But it's really great because there's also like other strategies you can use other than trying to be the last man standing. Like the one I use is when you duck, your HUD goes away.
Oh.
So when you're running around, there's always like how many arrows, like your ammo count above your head. And everyone can see it because it's local multiplayer.
Yeah.
But if you're like, say it's like three people left and two people are fighting amongst each other, you can go hide in the corner and duck.
Oh.
And your sprite gets a shadow over it, so you look like you're part of the background. And then also the arrow counter is gone.
It's gone.
So like I just waited. And they're like, man, I thought everyone was dead. What happened? And the person fell down the pit, fell through the top section. I just shot him in the face, right? And then I won super sneak.
Wow.
It's a really, really great competitive multiplayer game.
Sounds fun.
It's great for parties, and it's simple enough. The rules are simple enough to where, like, there's only three controls. Four. It's move, jump, shoot, dash. If you really want to get pro, if you dash into an arrow, you'll catch it.
Whoa.
And add it to your ammo count.
It's cool.
It's really fun.
How much is this game?
Regular, I believe it's 15.
And I know it was on the sale last week.
On sale, I got it for 5, I believe.
Oh, good deal.
It was a really good deal. And yeah, it's fantastic. The other one I played Nidhogg.
Oh yeah.
That game's intense. I think I talked about it on the podcast before, but
yeah, you like this game a lot.
Nidhogg's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to bring that over one day for like if you guys ever have a party over here again.
Mm.
Nidhogg's a great game. It has a tournament mode that you can set up.
Mm-hmm.
And do all kinds of stuff. And then the last thing I did was I got an Elgato.
Oh yes.
Yeah. And I've been playing around with video recording.
How's your experience with the video game recording been?
It's super easy.
Yeah.
Like, you just plug it in, press a button, and it goes.
Did you have to buy extra storage for it?
No.
Oh, did you have enough already?
I have like 200 gigs left on my computer internally. And then I have like another 500 gig external hard drive.
Okay.
So, like, I used that for my Wii U, and I was like, man, I'm going to load this thing with Virtual Console games. I'm like, no, I'm not. I already own all these games. Fuck that. So I'm just using that. And I've been playing around. Like, I got the version that's not like the HD 60 frames version.
Okay.
I got the, I think it's called HD Pro or whatever. It has an S-Video slot.
Yeah.
So I can have S or...
I'd say it's like, what, 1080p, 24 frame, 30 frame?
For 30, I think.
Okay.
And so I can do HDMI in and out, and then I can do S video in. But the S video is an adapter, so it's S video to component.
Oh.
Right? So I can hook up all my retro consoles to it.
Well, that's fun.
So I did some Beautiful Joe. I recorded some Beautiful Joe stuff. And it's insane how easy it is.
It's good.
I thought I was going to be able to play the game from the recorder screen, like what I'm watching. Like what
isn't
it's
there a bit of a delay?
But there's a super delay. There's okay. like at least like a 3 second delay. It's insane.
You should play anyway.
No. But you can HDMI that signal, the SD signal out to HDMI. Right.
Oh.
So it looks like on your TV, it looks a little shit.
So when you're playing it, it looks like shit, but the recording's awesome.
But the recording looks, it doesn't upscale it either.
Yeah.
So it looked like it's just that it looks like shit on your TV because it's blown up.
Yeah.
Like this 640 by 420 whatever is blown up to 1080, right? Yeah. And it looks like garbage. But on the recording, it's still compressed down to its proper size. So it looks fine. Yeah. And there's no lag, but I haven't tested out any rhythm games. So like stuff like Space Channel 5, yeah. Stuff that is like made for CRTs.
Hmm.
I wonder how that will handle when it's pumping out from into HDMI. Probably not well.
No.
I think the only thing I wish I had was something that outputted, like, I was looking at other video recorders before the Elgato that had like, it was component in and component out.
Yeah.
And I was like, that looks sick.
So it's like a pass-through?
Yeah, it's just a pass-through. And but apparently the video recorder wasn't that well, and wasn't that good, and it only worked with certain USB types. Like it's like, oh, you need like 2.0 of this certain model, or 3.0 of this certain model. Like it was really professional type stuff.
Yeah.
That I probably didn't have, so I didn't bother getting it. But that thing makes video recording very easy.
So
it's literally plug it in, set what console it is.
Yeah.
And then press record.
So you're going to start making videos or what?
I don't know what I'm going to do with it. We originally bought it because my parents wanted to record all of our home videos on VHS.
You're going to run out of VHSs one day.
One day. Right now there's a website called World of Long Plays. And what they do is that it's just like a gaming community that you record a long play.
Yeah.
No commentary, just gameplay.
Hmm.
And it's for archival purposes.
Yeah.
So that other people can use royalty-free versions of gameplay.
Just need, like, footage.
Yeah, just, like, here's just some footage. So I was thinking of maybe starting an account on that, trying to help with the archive stuff.
That's just some Good Samaritan bullshit. I make that money.
Like, so I'm really into the archival area of video games. Like, if I went to school to be like a museum curator, like I would try and push that that video game section. I guess
it's tough.
It is very tough, but there's a lot of people doing a lot of archival stuff, so I was really thinking about starting with, like, because archival is simple enough. Like, it's
turn it on and go,
make sure your audio sync isn't getting unsynced, and then post it up, right? And then from there I can see if I have ideas about videos and stuff. And like, it's just that, like, all the things I'm interested in, like, I don't think anyone else is.
Mm.
Like, man, let's go check out, like, PS2 Import Corner stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. The internet's a big place.
Yeah, internet's a big place, so.
I mean, I make videos about toys.
True. But toys are hot.
That's the toys I collect.
There's literally a company called Hot Toys.
And I don't collect any of that shit.
Oh, this shit's so expensive. But yeah. And then, so I'll see where I'm really excited, actually, to, like, just to wet my feet.
Yeah.
Sure. And then see where it goes.
Sounds fun.
And then the last thing I did was I got a new toy.
Oh, yeah?
I got the Luluco Nendoroid.
How's that?
It's so cool.
Is it?
She comes with... So Luluco, she comes with three faces, a different ponytail. So it's the regular ponytail that's lopped over, but for the scenes where she's like shocked and stuff, it's a straight ponytail, like real anime.
Oh, I never
like,
noticed that. Oh yeah, that's right.
She's got a couple different hands, like hey stop and stuff.
Yeah.
But the coolest thing I think is her dad accessories.
Oh.
So one comes as the dad brain, The eyes and the cart. And the other one is the push cart with the frozen dad.
Oh.
Right?
That but sounds
it's
like
just,
fun.
It's just a, it's a paper craft.
Oh.
So it's just a little piece of cardboard. You flex the bottom and then you place it on top of the cart. But the cart's a plastic thing.
Yeah.
Right? And so I've been doing fun stuff with that. I posted some stuff up on my Twitter of me playing around with like the Kirby Android too. I finally made one of those like four panel
The Coleman?
Twitter comics with Kirby. But man, toys are fun.
That's what they were made for.
Yeah, like I had people come over for my friend's birthday when we went to the escape room.
Yeah.
And some people had never been to my place. Yeah. And they were like, oh my gosh, you have all this stuff. I don't want to touch it.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, that's what it's for.
Yeah, no. Yeah,
like, touch it.
That's the mentality.
Like, I like, maybe too many people are collectors or they're just too much of like a killjoy on certain stuff.
Yeah.
But like, I've always respected your opinion on toys because it's like toys are literally meant to be played with.
Yeah.
Like, doesn't matter how expensive it is. It just means that this is crazier to play with.
Yeah, that's all it is.
And so like, it's really hard. I've found it's really hard to get people to get over, to overcome that like built in mentality of he's a collector. Don't touch shit.
Yeah.
Right. Don't get your grubby fingers on the stuff. It's like, no, like I have these comics to read them.
Yeah.
Like if you want to pull one out, go for it. I have these games to play them. Yeah. I have these toys to play with them.
That's always been like my problem with like, you don't have, like, those glass cabinets?
No, I don't.
No, you know how I
have
them? But, like my problem with those is, like, yeah, they look nice. they have make for great displays. And they keep dust out.
Yeah.
It's easier to keep them clean. But the problem is when you have those up, immediately people look at that and think, okay, don't touch it.
Oh, these are the important. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's like, no, if you want, like, I always say, if you want to see it, just open it up and take it out. Like, it's fine. But
yeah.
When you have those up, a lot of people are just like, nope. I'm not even gonna bother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's a couple things where, like, you know, certain, also, like, certain family members come down and, like, their kids almost break a toy.
Yeah.
And they're like, they don't realize how expensive it is.
Yeah.
But then once they hear the price tag, they're like, oh, no. It's like, no, they can still play with it. Like, just tell them not to throw it across the room.
Yeah.
Like, just be respectful.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I didn't really have that problem until, like, more people started coming over. And I was like, no, I didn't realize this was a thing.
Yeah. For sure.
Oh, well.
Mm-hmm.
That's been my week. It's been pretty chill. Video games, escape room.
All right, I'll pick up on the video game front. So you let me hear with you and Tokyo Mirage Session. So I'm not very far in.
It's not Bayonetta 2, but whatever.
But I'm not very far in. I'm only a couple hours in.
All right, did you beat like the intro chapter?
Just beat the intro chapter.
Okay.
Like, I actually spent a lot of time just battling, grinding, experimenting, and then I didn't realize how many menus there were.
There's a lot of menus.
So I was just reading and then I was reading. So there's something about this game that I know it's like they're all idols and stuff.
Yeah.
But you should have told me that there's a screen with their stats that has like their likes, their dislikes.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah.
And
it
has their signature. Yeah.
So have you done a magical attack in that game yet? Like a Garu or a Mood.
Yeah.
Like, so when they do that, look, they sign their name in the air.
That's what I was like.
And then Zio happens.
Yeah, I was like, oh, that's so cool.
It's really cool. I like the start screen where they're all laying down
on the
grass.
Yeah.
So as you get more characters, that starts filling out.
Yeah, I could see that because when you first get the game, it's just the one dude and then his female friend is there.
Yeah.
So that's cool. There's a lot of the Fire Emblem redesigns. I'm like so on, like,
okay,
because they're kind of like the power, like we were talking about Power Rangers, where I can see the inspiration, but they've gone that one step a little too far where they're almost unrecognizable from their original form.
So I don't know a lot about Fire Emblem, so when I saw these characters, I had to go back and look, and like I wikied them, and it's like, no, they really like, they Shin Megami Tensei the fuck out of these characters. Like, they do look like demons, right? Yeah. Especially when you, never mind. I'm not going to spoil it.
Yeah. I can imagine, but, a lot of, I haven't played that much yet, but, like, there's a lot of little Fire Emblem touches, like, all the sound effects are from Fire Emblem, but they've got this J-pop mix on them.
See, like, I never noticed that.
Yeah, and I'm just like, oh, this is so cool, but it totally feels like a Persona game at the same time. Battle system is, like, when you go into a battle, it becomes ultra flashy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know where the hell the stage comes from, why there's people in audiences, but it's super cool. I dig that. I wasn't really sold on the whole, do you know how when there's like a whole crowd of people, they just have colored silhouettes there.
Yeah.
I've never been a fan of that kind of style.
Okay.
So that kind of bugged me. Anime cutscenes are cool. I totally forgot it was all subbed.
Oh, yeah, it's all Japanese.
And I was like, this is super cool. I wish I understood more.
There's, like, I don't know. Like, so I've only been taking Japanese lessons for, like, a year.
Yeah.
And so, like, even though I'm in the intermediate class, my level is still real beginner.
Yeah.
And, like, there's a couple things where, like, in the battles, there's no subs on their...
That's the one thing that super bugs me, because I don't understand what they're saying. And they're always talking in the battles.
They're stock phrases. They're let's go get them, like, prepare for this attack. They're all stock phrases. Sometimes there's, like, a character will come in, and there'll be a dialogue between two characters.
Yeah.
I can't understand that stuff, so I don't know what they're saying there.
Yeah.
Yeah, most of, like, I wouldn't worry about that. A lot of them are just, like, Hajimaruzo, like, here I come, or, like... Yeah.
I just, you know...
Like, kakate koi, like, bring it on.
Yeah. So, that kind of was a bummer. But for me, the big thing about this game that I didn't think it would bug me, but it super does, it feels so old.
Yes.
It feels like this is a PS2, PS1 game dressed to look like a current game.
This, from what I gathered, like, from what I took away from that, is that this is a test bed. This game is... We took what worked before... We added in a little something new with the sessions and stuff because, like, we want to test it to see about Persona.
Yeah.
But really, all we did was just pump this out real quick.
Yeah, and, like, I don't know how I feel about that. On one hand, it's, like, it's nice to return to something familiar, and it's great. But then there's just so many things about it where I'm like, now I get why Final Fantasy is on this never-ending journey to try and reinvent itself, because they're like, we're done. We don't want to make something old anymore.
You can only make turn-based battle for so long.
Yeah, so, like, I don't hate it, but it's just... It definitely feels like I've been here, done that before type of route. And I'm enjoying it, but it's just... I didn't think it would bug me, but it does.
The part where it really started grinding on me... was when you get into your session attacks.
Yeah.
Those sessions become very long.
I can imagine.
And you cannot skip the animations or fast forward them.
Mm.
So when you're doing like 12 attack chains in one turn, like there are like these super special attacks where you can skip the animation because they're like a minute and a half cutscenes of you just fucking dudes up. But just like regular attacks of me jumping in and attacking, or like speed up, like I just, like speed up the Zio animation. Like I've seen it, I've been in it for 40 hours. Like let's go.
Yeah.
But that kind of stuff you can't.
Yeah.
So there's a couple quality of life things where like it makes me really appreciate Disgaea.
Yeah.
Where like I can just skip animations and fuck it.
Yeah, but no, I'm enjoying it. The Wii Pad gamepad thing. It's a neat. It's a cute little thing. Like it's your cell phone.
Yeah,
that's fun. It's
cool. You get the text messages and
stuff. Yeah, I'm like, that's really cool for world building. I thought that was adorable.
You can use it as Google Maps.
Yeah, I was like, this is really cool. I don't know if it's necessary. Nothing I couldn't have done on
the
screen.
It's not, and you'll start to learn throughout the game that everything they say down there other than side quest information is inconsequential.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter.
Totally. But yeah, no, it's a fun game. There was one more thing I wanted to say on it, but I can't remember.
Nothing like attacks, style.
No. Oh, this style of game, it does. I'm 100% more curious on what Persona 5 is going to be like.
Yes.
Because now I'm thinking, like, man, if they made this game, which is also set in Shibuya, Tokyo, it's like, is Persona 5 also going to do the same thing of, we didn't try to reinvent the wheel? But, like,
Persona seems like it's doing things differently, especially how you traverse dungeons.
Yeah, so the trailer for Persona 5 makes it look like they've stepped up, they've tried to go somewhere else, but at the same time, what if they didn't?
Yeah, there's always, like, I don't know what it is about JRPGs, or, like, just Japanese games in general.
Yeah.
Like, they'll show off a new idea in a teaser or a trailer.
And then I'll stick to that.
And then, no, like, not even that. Like, sometimes, like, if they stick to it, I'm like, A-okay, like, sick, something new, right? But sometimes it'll be like, this new idea was only, like, the first chapter.
Yeah.
And then after that hot new idea, we go back to tried and true.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, so we'll see.
Yeah, and there's this game is very Japanese, not only in its content, but in its gameplay style. It's, like, the amount of grinding you have to do, the way you level up.
Yeah.
Social aspects with characters. Yeah. Like, it's very Japanese.
Yeah, you had clear data on yours, so, like, for the difficulty, let me choose Lunatic.
Yeah.
I chose easy.
Okay. Yeah, Lunatic's Lunatic's a lunatic.
Yeah, I'd imagine. So I didn't bother. But yeah, no. I look forward to playing more.
It's a good game. It has its flaws, mm-hmm. but there is nothing in it that I think tears me away from liking the game.
Oh no, I imagine this is probably one of like the better games I played this year. I imagine that much is for sure, for certain. So yeah, that's that.
Like it's a solid 8 out of 10.
So 4?
4 out of 5.
Yeah, is that what you're telling me?
It's good.
Alright.
It's great.
Alright. Okay.
But we know in today's Metacritic world,
yes.
if it ain't a 10,
that ain't a buy.
It ain't a buy. No, man, that's sad.
As long as it's not a 7, right? Because 7 is garbage.
No, it's not. That means that game is good.
Garbage?
Good.
No, that G stands for garbage.
I never understood that. Out of like a 10 scale, how people can be like, oh, 7, that must be trash. Like,
yeah.
It's like, no, 5 is mediocre, 7 is good.
Yeah. It's weird because I know entire cultures who live by that scale.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, does a toy scene like that?
I know a lot of Filipino people are like that.
Really?
Like, if you ask them, like, on a movie, like, out of 10, if it was bad, it was a 7. If it was good, it was a 9.
So what's a 5?
What's a 1? See, I've never heard someone get that far down. I've only heard if it's a 7, and a 7 is bad.
Huh.
Yeah.
Weird. Okay.
The other game I was playing, Overwatch, the patch dropped
today. Playing some Sombra.
Sombra's cool. I don't know if you watched it, but I played my first 1v1 match.
Yep, I saw that.
I played as McCree, and you smoked the guy.
Oh.
And then the second match, we were Junkrat, and he left.
Oh!
I have a perfect record, my friend. Perfect record.
Yo, retire undefeated.
I am. I'm not playing 1v1 anymore.
That's it. The game over.
Yeah. I can't wait to play Elimination, though. 3-on-3.
Okay.
That's fun. Yeah, Sombra's cool. Buffs to D.Va, I appreciate. Not that she needed them, but I appreciate that. So sweet. Okay. That's that. And then I watched 2 movies because I was in a sci-fi flick mood. First one I watched was Interstellar.
Mm-hmm.
That movie is 3 hours. But man, I enjoyed all 3 hours.
When I was in the theater watching that movie, I was like, nope, this did not feel like 3 hours at all.
And the crazy part is when it ended, I was like, I wouldn't mind if it went on.
Yeah. Like, hey, like, continue, please.
So that movie is, wow, that movie. Okay,
is this the last thing you're talking about this week?
I have another movie after this.
Do you want to spoil
Interstellar? Okay. I'll get to Interstellar in a second. The other movie I watched was Attack the Block.
Okay.
It's an indie English film.
From the UK.
Yeah.
From the Brits.
Actually from London.
Chip chip cheerio, governor.
From British media.
Eat some biscuits.
It stars John Boyega.
Boyega?
You know him now as Finn from Star Wars.
What did they call the boogeyman in John Wick?
I can't remember.
So Baba Yaga?
Yeah, something like that. Like okay. Baba Yaga, Baba Boot. No.
Baba Booey, Baba Booey, Howard Stern's penis, Baba Booey,
yeah. Baba Booey. Okay, so let me set this up, all right? So they're in like the equivalent of the Bronx of London.
Okay.
Okay, so it's a bunch of black British dudes being all like hard and gangster. Only they're like 15. So they're not quite there yet.
Okay.
All right. They want to be part of that life. But at the same time, they still go home to like their moms and they're like, yeah, mom will be home by 10, curfew, blah, blah, blah. And like, so they have like that whole lifestyle with them as well. And so they're going out at night and they mug a chick, like, or they rob her. They're trying to, like, they bring out knives and bats or like, give us your shit. And she's like, okay. As they rob her, a crater hits the car beside them, and it's an alien,
a meteor hits it.
Yeah, a meteor type thing, and what do you call it? There's like this creature that comes out,
yeah,
and it attacks our main character.
Okay,
our main character named Moses, and he's like, "I'm gonna fucking kill that thing." So he chases it down, and turns out it's an alien. They describe it as a big gorilla wolf motherfucker. So that's how they describe it.
Okay.
Yeah, and then from then on, it goes more aliens attack, and it's just this very small story about these 5 teenage kids, like gangster kids, who have to band together and save the world from aliens.
Huh, okay.
And, like, that's it. It's done by the guys who did, like, Shaun of the Dead. What are the other 2 movies? I can't remember now.
Oh, Hot Fuzz.
And the other one.
I forget the last one.
Yeah. So it's got that, it's got that, like, serious action comedic...
Wait, is it the same director?
I think it's the same writing team, not the same director.
Because I was gonna say, like, that he also did Scott Pilgrim, if it was the same director.
Edgar Wright?
Yeah.
No, it wasn't him. Okay. It definitely wasn't him. But same writing team.
Okay.
But it's great. It's kind of like it's almost like a very lighthearted version and simplified version of the concept behind like The Raid and Dread, where they're in a building and they're going up and down the building,
okay,
and then they're fighting aliens throughout the building. It's just a super fun watch. I totally recommend it. It's only an hour and 20 minutes.
Okay, this is like on Netflix or something?
It's on Netflix.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's definitely, I think it's going to be like one of those cult classic films.
Is it new?
2011.
Oh, okay, so it probably already is.
You're right. Probably is a cult classic. It's I know it bombed at the box office.
Oh, okay, so obviously.
Yeah.
Cult classic.
It's a lot of fun. Interstellar.
All right. I want to spoil Interstellar because I've been wanting to talk spoiler-free about Interstellar for a long time.
Okay, let's talk about Interstellar.
That movie's nuts.
It is nuts.
That movie starts in one place, goes bonkers, then comes back.
Yeah. So, okay. I want to give you my overall thought on Interstellar was it's great. However.
What's the caveat?
This movie just keeps going and going and going. Acts 1 and 2 are great, but it gets to Act 3 and you're like, this movie can end one of two ways. It's going to be dark, or they're going to do something batshit insane, and you're going to be like, what the fuck?
All right.
And you're going to have to accept it. They choose the latter.
Yeah.
They go to that place where you're like, I'm sorry, what?
What?
And then you're like, whatever. Let's continue this ride. That's my only thing. I think the ending could have been a little more grounded relative to what it was.
Yeah.
But it would have been darker.
So the thing I really loved about this movie is their explanation of, wait, am I thinking about the same movie? Is this the one where they go into space?
Yep.
And there's like, they go into the water planet?
Yep.
Yeah, okay, that's like that kind of stuff. The whole thing of time dilation.
Oh, yes.
In gravity.
Yeah.
Right? And it brought me back, like, it brought back flashbacks of Gunbuster.
Yeah.
When she goes out and they're going so fast to closer to speed of light or whatever. And the way they in its simplest terms explain that phenomenon.
Yeah.
I just don't know how he did it. Like, I would have never have come to like thought of those ideas to explain it in such a simple way.
Yeah.
Especially when they get into more advanced stuff like the fourth dimension. When they explain stuff in the fourth dimensions of here is a series of infinite bookshelves.
Yeah.
And each bookshelf is a moment in time or a possible moment in time.
Yeah.
And you can go here and
yeah.
find it and do mm-hmm. all that stuff. And it's like, it's such a great visual way to explain such a theoretical concept.
Yeah.
Right. And I love that about that movie.
Yeah. It's definitely I love this movie because it's the best part of sci-fi films where sci-fi, like my favorite sci-fi films are the ones that make you think.
Yeah.
Like they're not about the action. They're about.
So that's why I think one of my favorite sci-fi movies of all time is called Contact.
Yeah.
Also with Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah.
Because that is a sci-fi movie that is like,
yeah.
Oh shit. Like that's crazy. Like it makes you think. I'm not gonna spoil it, but
yeah, for sure. But yeah, no, Interstellar. It's also like this kind of sweet father-daughter love story.
Yeah.
A lot of just tragedy that goes throughout this mission.
Yeah.
Everybody's in this movie.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of people in this
there's
movie.
There's a lot of people in this movie. We're spoiling it. So, like, yeah, when Matt Damon showed up, I'm like, yo, Martian? What happened?
Yeah.
What's his face? That 70s show cameo came in.
Mm-hmm. The whole thing with Matt Damon, his whole act.
Oh God,
is great.
I was so,
cause like you meet him, right? Yeah. And you're like, nah, something's wrong here.
Yeah.
But then you're like, nah, he seems like a good guy.
Yeah.
And then it comes back around. It's like, nah, fuck you. You were right the first time. Like he's an asshole.
When he says, he's like, I did not think that the planet I landed on would be dead. Like,
yeah,
he's like, there was no way in my mind that I thought I would have been wrong. And you're like, oh, that's fucking sad. Because then he knew the moment he landed that it was over.
Yeah.
Like, no one was coming to him unless he lied. And it's like, But man, you're risking humanity. The other one too, with time dilation, where the girl, where they're like, this girl's planet seems like perfect, like it's got all the conditions, and they get down there and they explain it. They're like, she was only here for a couple minutes, but because of gravity, we were receiving this beacon for like 10 years.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's fucked.
Or even the reverse, when they go down to the water planet and they miss the wave, right?
Yeah.
And they go back up, they're like, yo, we only missed one thing for 30 seconds. Like, yeah, you've been gone for like 7 years.
Yeah.
I'm here with gray hair and a beard. Like,
yeah. It's like, I thought you guys were never coming back.
Yeah.
Or just like, and as the movie keeps going, like they keep having to do these things, and then it's like, Matthew McConaughey keeps getting like glimpses of his daughter and his family, and they've just grown up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a great movie. They took my favorite scene of Gunbuster and made a movie out of it.
Yeah. It's
well, they didn't have robots doing push-ups, but
yeah. But it's so sad and yet so hopeful,
I want to say. Yeah, it's uplifting and tragic at the same time.
Yeah.
Like Matthew McConaughey's personal story in that movie is tragic AF.
Yeah.
But the part where it's like, no, if we can harness space travel, like we're not confined to this one planet. We can move people off. We can solve like all these problems, all these issues, all this stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like, holy shit.
Yeah.
It's hopeful.
Yeah. And then there, I really like the writing in this movie. I love the robots, Case and
the giant monoliths.
Yeah, I was just like, those guys are fucking awesome.
Those guys are great characters.
Yeah, I was like, when they first showed up, I'm like, what is this bullshit? And I'm like, oh no, they're kind of cool.
And they have like personality. One's like the serious one. One's the lighthearted one, or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. It's like Case talks enough for the both of us. Yeah, no, it's good. Anne Hathaway's character was kind of like, she's the like what I imagine represents humanity, like flawed and somewhat selfish.
Yeah. But like, whereas Matthew McConaughey is like the golden poster child.
Yeah.
Like, I'll get through anything, whatever, wherever.
Yeah. And then the twist of Michael Caine, he's like, it was all a lie.
Yeah.
It was all a sham. I'm like, no.
Michael Caine, how could you?
Yeah, I'm like, Michael Caine, I trusted you. Is this why they hired you to act? Yeah. That was such a good movie. I do think, though, like, I don't think he should have made it back.
No, I think that ending would have been a lot better if he was just trapped.
Yeah. Because at that point, I accepted that, you know what? You're never seeing your kids again.
Yeah.
And your kids seem to have accepted they're never seeing their father again.
Yeah.
And like, we could have just gone super dark. You could have died. And
you could have been lost in the fourth dimension forever.
Yeah.
You could have been a Time Lord.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking. I'm like, you could just stay there. But then I was like, no, he just appeared outside the rings of Saturn, and some space rangers were just doing their due diligence and found you.
the whole thing of like, what was it? Some like there was an extraterrestrial thing being like, hey,
we put this here. Yeah,
you can do it. You can do it, humans. You can do it.
So that was the one theory I read. Like, the person who put that there was just humanity in the far, far future saving themselves.
Yeah, that could be a thing.
And then, so, the movie presents a paradox at one point, and that's where I kind of just was like, I don't know anymore.
Okay.
Like, where Matthew McConaughey has to make the code out of the dust and the gravity.
Yeah.
And that at that point, I was like, oh man, we got that chicken-egg situation here, and like, this shit doesn't make sense now.
No, that's the whole thing of playing with time.
Yeah.
Is what does come first.
Yeah.
Like, when you're in playing with that sort of dimension, like, the chicken can come before the egg.
Yeah.
Right? Literally, the embryo I am born from doesn't have to be there for me to be born.
Yeah, like, that's the type of shit that I'm just like, oh, man, that's so fucked up and so intriguing and yet so bullshit.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff where it's like, some of this seems like sci-fi caveat. But also, it makes sense within rules that I understand.
Rules that you think you understand.
That I think I understand.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, fuck. Yeah, no, that movie's great.
That's a great movie. But it's a movie you can only see once.
It's been a couple of years. I think I can watch it again.
Okay.
It came out in 2013?
14.
14, yeah.
I do regret not seeing it in theaters, because I bet seeing it in IMAX would have been like...
Yeah, the whole scenes when they're like drifting out and just stars and stuff. Like,
yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're still on a sci-fi kick, I do recommend Contact.
Yeah.
I think that with Jodie Foster.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jodie Foster and Matthew McConaughey. I think that's a fantastic movie. It does not go as crazy as Interstellar.
Yeah, we'll see. I think this week I'm planning to watch Gravity and Snowpiercer.
Okay, so take Gravity, push it aside, put in Contact.
We shall see. I'm trying to watch recent ones, that's why.
Okay.
Yeah. But, yeah. So that was it, I think.
It's a pretty good week.
That was it, yeah. And that's it for us.
Yep.
That's a show.
Hopefully next week we'll have two Kamen Riders.
Hopefully. I hope so. Let's hope. If we don't, then well...
We'll have one.
We'll have one at least, hopefully.
We forgot! I wanted to talk about catching up with anime.
Oh, yeah.
All the episodes, episode sixes and stuff, so we're like halfway through seasons now. Is there anyone you want to talk about first?
Haikyuu does some amazing stuff.
Is Haikyuu still the one to be at?
Well, yeah, but like, I don't know if I can count that because it is a...
Well, I think that counts. Like, it's a new season.
I thought they couldn't make volleyball any more exciting.
Okay.
But they managed to do it.
Set the ball on fire?
No, it's just because they're at that moment right now where the team is up against like the most amazing opponents.
Okay.
And so the team has to grow and adapt, and they can't just rely on old tricks. And you see that happening very slowly. And,
during the game?
Yeah, and like at the end of each episode will be like a minor change that one of the players does, but it turns the tables.
This is giving me super heavy Eye Shield 21 flashbacks. Yeah. Man, I should watch Haikyuu.
Like, they... It's like it's as small as, listen, he just decided not to jump for 1 second later. And it's like, that's it. Like, that's all.
And, like, that's things in real sports. Like, hey, like, I jumped a little too early.
Yeah.
They set it up so that they waited until I hit the ground to spike this shit, right?
Yeah. And it's so crazy.
Okay.
Yeah.
This sounds like at least I gotta read it.
For sure. Yeah. But, like, yeah, man, they hit that ball.
Okay. The whole thing. They hit the shit out of that
ball. They spiked that ball. And then, of course, Keijo's still awesome.
Keijo still booty-tastic.
Yeah, they do a lot of bullshit, but it's still great.
So I watched the first episode of Keijo.
Yeah.
I like the first battle before the two get into their one-on-one.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, she'll walk up to someone, and then she'll flinch.
Yeah.
And then you'll see, poof. And it's like, what just happened? She's so fast. She's faster than the human eye.
She's, like, stabbing their necks and stuff?
Yeah. Like, stabbing their necks with her butt.
Yeah.
And it was like, girls just passed out, like, drooling on the floor. Like, holy shit.
Yeah.
That was pretty good. So, like, I didn't end up catching up with Keijo, but I at least watched that first episode, and it's silly.
It is.
Silly,
100%,
silly
show. 100%.
Was it All Out is my sports anime.
Is it good?
This season. It's good.
Oh, okay.
They do, like, so it was weird at the beginning, like, how they fall in love with the sport, literally. Like, there are certain parts where I'm like, this is just a teen romance where one character is the male and the other character is the sport. And if the sport could make out with the main character, they'd do it. Right? They have this weird, like, shoujo style, like, bloom up. Oh my god, rugby, it's so great.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's weird. But once it gets into... Right now, they're in training camp. They played their first match against, I think it was the first place or second place champs of last year.
Yeah.
They get crushed. Fucking crushed. But the thing is, new kid obviously scores one try against the other team.
Of course.
Right? And so the other team's all pissed because, like, the kid ruined their perfect game. It was almost a shutout, blah, blah, blah. But now they're in training camp mode. They got a new coach. The coach is training them to do cool stuff. And it's really breaking down rugby. Like, the things that are important, the things that their team are lacking are big dudes. The thing about rugby is, like, you probably want some big dudes on your team to mess up other people.
I think you want a lot of big dudes.
You want a lot of big dudes, but there are a lot of small dudes. And so the coach is like, for a small team to beat a big team, you have to use your strengths against their weaknesses.
Yeah.
And this is how you're going to do it. And the type of training they're doing is, like, super intense and all that.
Yeah.
And it also shows to go, like, how much of a physical sport rugby is.
Yeah.
Like, even in comparison to when I'll go back to Eye Shield, to football. They had training camps in that show, but it was nowhere near as intense as what's being shown in All Out.
Yeah.
But it does the thing of they're making rugby super intense, and they're making training camps super fun to watch. And it's like, actually, like, I went out and I looked up how I can watch rugby on TV, how I can watch rugby games, because it seems super interesting. I really like it. Other one, Tiger Mask W.
Yeah.
Or Double, sorry.
Yes.
W. It's still silly.
Oh, is it?
It's the silliest show. It is 100%.
Like, would you say more silly than Keijo?
It's a different type of silly.
Okay.
This is Fist of the North Star mid-80s silly.
Oh, that's silly.
Like that kind of silly. Like, oh. Villains are villains. They're dudes in masks who portray evil. And they're like the most stereotypical names. Like, I am the Red Devil and I'm here to steal your soul through wrestling. And like, I'm Tiger Mask. I'm going to stand up for justice no matter how much you beat me up and all this stuff.
So like, it's a Kamen Rider.
Yeah, it's Kamen Rider. It's okay. Super silly.
Okay.
I'm loving every minute of it. That is the type of anime and manga that I have the most reverence for. Because they portray these certain ideals so clearly. Like, when I watch Fist of the North Star, like, no, Kenshiro is, he's literally the North Star. Like,
I see.
He's the Fist of the North Star.
Yeah.
Like, he's unwavering. He'll always be this character. Nothing can move this rock, right?
Makes sense.
And that's what's happening in Tiger Mask W. And then the one that I was the least excited for is now turning out to be my favorite.
Oh, Drifters?
Drifters. Drifters is my favorite anime this season I'm watching.
Wow.
It has introduced more historical figures and is not relying so much on Japanese figures. And they still have, like, the main characters are all Japanese. It's Oda Nobunaga, it's Yoichi, it's the famous archer. And I don't know if the main guy's real or not, or if he's just made for the anime.
Yeah.
But they're all coming together to overthrow shit. And it is, it's a war simulator.
Huh.
These warriors are dying, getting thrown into this world where these two gods are playing Risk.
Sounds like fun.
They're playing real life Risk.
Huh.
And they're showing just enough information on these god characters where it's like there is the one guy, he is, I guess he portrays good because he's always in light.
Yeah.
Whereas this other girl, she's like this bratty chick who portrays evil because wherever she walks, darkness appears and
yeah.
All of her characters are insane or all of her pieces are insane. And so there's this weird balance of like real wartime strategies mixed with different eras of wartime strategies. With these god-like characters playing chess, right? And it all accumulates to make this really interesting show where they give you enough information and are showing you enough fights to where you're super interested, but keeping enough about those god characters back to where you're like, what are these fucking people, right? And it is, yeah, like far and away, I'm excited every week to see a new episode of Drifters.
How's the art style? You still
art style is still
it's weird.
It's gruesome.
Okay,
but it fits the content.
Okay,
not context. Yeah, it is. War is brutal. Let's say that. And Oda Nobunaga was not called the Demon King for nothing.
No one went down.
Slight spoilers. One of his main strategies to overthrow a village was to set up booby traps in the forest. So when soldiers tried to flee after he won, because he knew he was going to win, they would fall into booby traps. And the other thing was to coat booby traps and arrows in shit. So that all these people, all these archers, they're all, they're elves. So they're naturally gifted at archery, but they're still amateurs.
Yeah.
All they had to do was graze people.
Yeah.
And then it would get infected.
Yeah, I was gonna
say, and these people would die.
Ugh.
Right? And then they use those bodies to make explosive powder.
Oof.
They throw all the dead soldiers into a mass grave. They speed up the process with urine, shit, mealworms, all this stuff to break down bodies faster so that they can harvest the decomposed bodies to make explosives for their army.
That's gross.
It's fucking brutal.
Yeah.
And there's a couple other people who've shown up. One is Joan of Arc showed up. And she's literally purifying people by setting them on fire.
Wow. Like,
she has anime powers.
Does she just look like Saber?
Almost.
Okay.
So yeah, there's like a bunch of, like all the main, like the historical figures are drifters.
Yeah.
Right? And so they all have like crazy superpowers.
Hmm.
There's like, I think there was two Western guys who were, I think that they were famous alcohol smugglers in the Wild West.
They're famous Rum Runners.
Right, Rum Runners. And so they're people runners in the war, like trying to save drifters. Like, it's so cool. They're mixing all these styles
of war. Fun.
Yeah, it's really, really fun. Hmm. It's a great show.
Hmm.
Yeah, the show's really good. It's just, it plays with certain content where, like, it's like, no, war's fucked up. And also, it's really gruesome. Like, dudes are getting cut in half. They deal with sexual abuse of prisoners of war and stuff like that. Like, it gets dark.
Sounds mature.
It's very mature.
Mm. I should tell you about the one anime I'm watching that isn't mature.
What?
Flip Flappers.
I was hanging out with some people on Friday, and a friend's girlfriend told me that her two favorite shows this season are Flip Flappers and Show by Rock.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But she's just like, that show will give you diabetes for how sweet it is, like, and how sugary garbage it is. But she said Flip Flappers was really good.
Flip Flappers has one. Okay, I'm just going to tell you with one episode, okay? Episode 3 is a Mad Max episode.
Okay.
Where they're in the desert. But remember, the two characters are like these middle school girls.
Okay.
And something happens. One of them ends up leading, like, the band of Mad Max dudes.
Yeah,
like the skull faced dudes with the cars and shit. Like, she leads them. The other one, she leads the other people, whatever. And but they're best friends. But for some reason, like, they were pitted against each other because their memories were fucked up or something.
Yeah.
So they meet up in the Mad Max desert and they have a fight. But the fight is straight up Dragon Ball Z.
Okay.
Like, they're doing, like, the fast punches and shit. And they do, like, the teleporting. They're throwing around a whole bunch of energy. But then it takes one step further and they go Sailor Moon transformation style. And they do it. But their this is when things clear up. And their weapons, one girl is a sword. The other girl's weapon is a shield.
Okay.
And together, like, they work together to beat up some other enemy. But, like, it is this huge, and it just, you have to watch it just to see it go down, because it's insane.
All right.
Yeah. But every episode, it seems to be, like, a different sort of genre type.
Okay.
Like, the most recent one was, like, a horror mystery where you're stuck in a never-ending looping world.
Mm-hmm.
So that was pretty cool. But yeah, no, it's, I still don't know what the hell it's about, though.
All right.
All I know is, like, the one guy who's leading this small group kind of looks like Kamina.
All right.
Like, glasses and everything. And he's got crossed arms, but he has clothes on. So that's it.
All right.
But yeah, no, it's fun. It's a fun show.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Sounds good.
Yeah. I think that's the end of
this. That's the end of the show.
That's the end of this episode. Okay, great. Great. Nice. Next week, you can look forward to stuff, like we said.
Things.
Mm-hmm.
Probably cool things. That happen in the world.
Yeah, that's generally how the show rolls. Generally. Hopefully next week I'll have a Monkey Prime to talk about. Because I got a monkey robot in the mail, and I'm super stoked to see it. So, pretty happy for that. Anything you want to say before we go?
Peace up, A-Town down.
Wow, okay. Bye, guys.
Shout out to my homies.
Shout out to all the listeners out there who notify me on Twitter and saying that you enjoy the show. It's always nice to hear.
Yeah, it is nice to hear.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, bye.